This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
You talk about one that bangs. There it is right there. Public Enemy, welcome to the Terror Dome. Mike Tyson vibes.
Friend of the show.
Yes. And this show is Barton Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And, of course, that means this is hour number three, Bart Scott, on a very busy day today. When it's hour number three, what does that mean?
It's the power hour, 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 hour.
It is indeed. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Are you really cleaning the mic?
Oh.
I thought you were trying to, like, you know, do a little adjust it.
I was trying to work on my, like, because you remember all in the 90s and 80s, like, when, like, in Juice, where they running from the police, or like in Sugar Hill, something. Like, it's always that.
Yeah. It was Eric B. and Rakim, yeah. Right? What was that?
Oh, damn.
From Juice.
Yeah, I can't think of it, but yeah.
Know the Ledge.
All right.
Every time they would run somewhere, they would just keep playing the part from Know the Ledge. Yeah, the loop. Hey, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices. Excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, we were just talking about this a little bit earlier. We got your calls to get to, our mixtape. We're putting it together. Got to admit, not getting we're getting some cliche songs to put in our workout mixtape. So we get ready for this 2v2 against Keyshawn and Jay Will. We want to get fired up for it. And some of them, I'm like, you know, like, we got to bring it. I have yet to hear anybody bring up some movie songs other than Rocky.
Right.
That are, like, great movie theme songs or montages that are in a movie that get you fired up. Like, Fight to Survive in Bloodsport.
Kumate.
Kumate. Like, come Kumate. On. Like, that's definitely on it. Meanwhile, talking about several things today. You heard Bart in the rejoin talking about Ryan Tannehill saying it's not my job to mentor Malik Willis. He just watched me. You know, like, he dismissed it, and Bart does not like that.
I hate quarterbacks. That's the most selfish thing in the world. Like, he's your
and
teammate.
And Dalton said it last year when it comes to Justin Fields. Well, it's not like you're going to treat him like crap. It's just, it's not on me to worry about him. I got to worry about me because I still am QB1. And I understand, like I said, I understand what he's thinking.
Who helped him? Who helped him? Because he came in his league as a rookie, green, didn't know nothing. And I guarantee you.
Ryan Fitzpatrick?
No.
No, seriously. No, it wasn't.
No. He was in Miami. So Ryan Tannehill, I think
who was it?
Either Chad Pennington or Cleo Lemon.
Could have been Chad Pennington. Yeah.
Or Cleo Lemon. Like, but at the end of the day, they knew that your selection signaled the end of their career. Mm-hmm. And he helped them. I wonder all the people that played with Tyrod Taylor that end up taking his job because of the weirdest things happening. Wonder if he was not a good teammate. Wonder if Teddy Two Gloves isn't a good teammate. I wonder if he don't think, hey, when he went to those places, those stops he was at, he didn't help guys.
Now, Kurt Warner talked about this on Twitter. He said, I will never understand the I'm not here to mentor the guy mentality. So for all you young quarterbacks that need a mentor, DM me, and I'll be that guy. Happy to help in any way I can. And he was the guy that stepped aside for Eli Manning and did so kind of like pretty gracefully and then went to another team.
They were like 5-1 or something? Yeah. 5-3?
No, they did not. They were, I think, 5-5 or 5-4.
They still had a chance to go to the playoffs.
And right, and then the season completely went, you know, downhill. But Warner still had something left in the tank, as we learned.
Went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Went to Arizona and reclaimed his reputation in his league.
Yeah. So I guess it's perspective. But with Tannehill, I didn't feel like
a coward.
I don't think he's
a coward dies a thousand deaths. Mm-hmm. I've never not helped a teammate and gave him my all. It's my job. When Mike Tannenbaum talks about being a force multiplier, what the hell you think he's talking about? He's talking about making other people better.
Better, right.
Do you think that's make everybody better that's not in the same room as you? What the hell? What sense does that make? Make everybody else better, but other than the person that you're competing with.
Mm-hmm.
Like every year, 90 people come into camp. 53 make a roster. So you can't have an environment. It's one of those weird things where you're all competing against each other, but you have to help each other.
You're being too literal with this.
No, I'm not.
I still, and I know you. You're the one with the experience. You were in the rooms, and I get it. But I'm
dude.
I,
get people bad I information.
I didn't
what
hear
were you
him.
At?
Say, I didn't hear him say.
He can watch
I'm
me.
Not going to.
He can watch me.
He just said it's not my job to be. I'm not. I got to worry about being QB1.
Okay. Okay. So what was Kurt Warner's answer when? Because if you're saying that you're going to have the same result, they're not saying that he's not saying that. But when Kurt Warner was asked that same question about Eli Manning, I bet you that answer was so much different.
Yeah, you understand the writing's on the wall when you see a team make the move they made to get Eli Manning. So, look, that's the answer. Your perspective and obviously your experience is one that's why you had the take you did, and I respect that. But there's more to get to here. Again, Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. And that includes something we talked about also earlier in the show, that back in April, I kind of threw it out there that this is a name to watch with the Lakers. And that is LeBron. That is not LeBron James. It's Phil Jackson. And then Woj yesterday was on. Was it NBA? Was it? It was NBA. Yeah, it was NBA. Right.
The live.
Yeah. And he had this to say about the Lakers situation.
This is very much a committee in L.A. putting together this coaching search. And one person who is certainly significantly involved in this process is Phil Jackson. He's got a voice in this. He did last time when they hired Frank Vogel. He was, you know, he and Kurt Rambis, he had been somebody they had considered with the Knicks before hiring Derek Fisher in New York.
Now, this is from NBA Today. Stephen A. has talked about the Rambis influence with Jeannie Buss, the owner. And as I mentioned, Phil Jackson is not very far away. Even though their relationship isn't exactly the same, he and Jeannie, he's still very much a presence there. And in fact, I've learned an emerging presence with the Lakers. So now it just leads you to what next? Does LeBron want to be part of that? Is there a power struggle going on with that franchise and the direction they need to go in? Because obviously they can't run it back. They're going to need a coach. Who wants to coach when all that drama is going on? You have no idea who you're answering to. Like, who's in charge? Is it Clutch? Is it LeBron? Is it Rob Pelinka? Is it the Rambises? If they don't like what I'm doing, if I'm not running the rhombus, the triangle, whatever the hell it is, you know, like, is it Phil who wants to, you know, influence and tell them how I should be coaching?
Yep.
So who's taking that job?
Somebody desperate, somebody that has no choice, you know, guy like Mark Jackson, if he's offered the job, has to take it.
And that's the name that everybody believes LeBron wants is Mark Jackson, not Phil Jackson. But again, if Phil Jackson's there, is he saying hire that guy? Because when Phil came to New York and everybody said to Phil, bring in a Nick, bring in Mark Jackson, he said no.
Brought in a Laker.
He first wanted to bring in Steve Kerr. That fell apart. And then he brought in Derek Fisher. And he wanted it because he wanted to run his triangle. Run it my way. Do it my way. You think Mark Jackson's listening to anybody?
Yeah.
You think Mark Jackson is going to take any orders from anybody on how to coach?
Yeah, I'm a coach on this.
Absolutely. So that, I don't know if you
can. I got it right here, coach. I can feel, hey, man, you know, I want you to, hey, coach, I got this. You had your time. This is my time. I'm not a
Well, remember, when Mark Jackson was in Golden State, he famously locked the room and didn't let the front office and ownership ever come in the locker room. He didn't want anybody in there because he wanted no outside influences,
yep.
Right? And so you think that's going to happen in L.A. with the Lakers?
Mm-mm.
So good luck with that. But speaking of Warriors, that led me to bring up this. If you're LeBron, you have a year left on your deal. You see what's going on with the Lakers. And you're the Lakers, and you know we can't rebuild this roster. We have no assets whatsoever. Can you entertain the idea of – where does LeBron want to go, and what can we get for him? And I brought up, he has talked about wanting to play with Steph Curry. And if you're the Warriors and you have all these young players that you spent 2 years while you were in the little hiatus while Klay was injured and KD left, is you went through a time where you got some draft picks, you got some younger players, and now you've got some assets that if you're the Lakers, you could say, well, we could hit the reset button and make Anthony Davis our centerpiece. Could you make a deal where LeBron goes to the Warriors and the Warriors give them back some of those young, you know, Kuminga and Wiseman and pieces that can reset the Lakers, and the Warriors, with Steph Curry still in his prime, can try to win another one or two titles?
And then the second year with LeBron, they got to bring Bronny in because, remember, that's a goal of his too. So he can be one of the young players that they replace. He can replace Whatever Jordan Poole. They can develop Jordan Poole. But listen, if you win two championships,
is it that crazy?
It's not. I think it's likely. I think LeBron would try and work behind, you know, closed doors, because it's one of those rare trades that I believe works for everybody.
All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up, we got your calls, and also getting more songs to put on the Bart and Hahn mixtape as well. But first, I want to remind you that we are Bart and Hahn ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. See what I mean? Now, we didn't bring in the very beginning of this song, which to me is where you get like the chills up your spine when you hear the very beginning of the song. And maybe we'll do that a little bit later on. See, if I could...
We still got time.
The only thing I'm missing now is the ability to just play music from here. We probably never get to any sports at all if you and I were able to just play music. But we do have calls, and I can get to those, and we will do that. Kendrick Perkins is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. I'd love to get his take on this when it comes to the Lakers and LeBron. And also, what is going on in that Grizzlies-Warriors series with flagrant twos and guys getting thrown out, dirty plays, and the code that Steve Kerr is talking about. Well, we continue with your calls. Roger's in Brooklyn. Roger.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good afternoon. Two quick points. One, the Lakers. They're not going to trade LeBron this year. Number one, because LeBron is coming up on breaking this all-time scoring record, and it looks good. You know, right now, at this point in his career, I think he's a ticket seller. Rather than
I don't think the Lakers ever need to sell tickets. You know what I mean? They don't need to sell tickets. They always do.
I mean, if you have a bad team, I don't know.
No, they do. No. The Lakers and the Knicks are two teams that never worry about selling out. They just do.
Yeah. And I never understand the Knicks. But number two, I'm rooting for you guys. You know why? In that 2-on-2, I met Bart Scott. I don't know if you remember. It's Trump Tower. I was inspecting the building. Guy's a huge, massive guy. Really cool brother. All day pick and roll on Jay Will. I think you guys got it covered. All right.
Mm. Oh yeah, elbows tight, high. No.
Yes.
We can easily crush girly men like grape. That's right.
Thank you, Roger. I mean, you know, what else we got? Right. That's all we got. I don't have the other drop that I'm dying to play that you said the other day. One of my favorite things you said. Let's see. We continue. Let's go. Let's get a couple of... Oh, actually, Victor's in Connecticut, too. He's been waiting a bit. Victor.
Hey, what's going on there, Hahn?
What's good?
First of all, before I get into it, I would like to thank you and Bart for excellent programming every day. Bart's hilarious, by the way.
Thank you, brother.
And...
You should see the. You should hear the things
really
he says off the air.
I'm really rooting for you guys on the 2-on-2.
Thank you. Then
one more thing before I get to my. As far as the song goes, Big Chub Rock is on the scene.
I know that, yeah.
And then my thing is now there's what's his name for the Grizzlies? I forget his name right
Dylan
now.
Brooks. You talking about him or John Morant?
No, the other guy.
John Morant?
Morant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, does he have in bullseye on his back now because of what happened the other night? And that's all I got to say. Thank you so much for taking the call. Love you guys.
All right. So does he have a bullseye on his back for what happened the other night? What happened the other night? I mean, if you're talking about what happened last night, which is after the game, you see him walk by Steph Curry. And he's like kind of like you see him jawing at him, we're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
Because Steph, after game one, said to him, we're going to have some fun in this series.
Yeah.
And then Ja let him know after game two, yeah, we're having some fun. Like
the thing is,
don't sun me.
The thing is, can they take Ja out of it, right? Do they want to let Ja get his and try and focus on everybody else? Or do you want to take it personal? See, they don't have a smart. They don't have a –
Well, they did in Peyton.
Yeah, they don't have a Tucker. You know what I mean? I'm talking about a starter that's going to come up and get up at somebody.
Draymond Green is that guy. He's their
But he can't do that to Ja. Like, he's good with wings, but he can't keep up with Ja. Ja's too quick. He's a guard.
Yeah.
So you don't have like a Drew Holiday to put on him. We're going to bump you up. You ain't got no Jimmy buckets.
Honestly, Klay Thompson.
He used to be that.
At one time was one of the best defensive wings in the game.
But he's not that anymore.
You can see it.
The lateral movement.
Something going on with Klay. These first two games, man,
he's taken some
bad shots. No, he's been playing well. He actually played well in the first round.
He's been up and down his years.
But these first two games, he's out of it. Like, you can just see he's not in rhythm. Like, he can't find it.
He was in and out of rhythm throughout the entire season.
But he made a great defensive play in game one.
Yeah.
He's the one who threw Ja Morant off his rhythm.
He hit the three as well. Missed the free throws, but hit the three.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Definitely something going on with him. There's no doubt about it. Let's see. Let's get us a couple of song ideas here. Jason's in New York. Jason.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
I got for your mixtape, DMX, Who We Be.
You can never go down with Max.
They don't know
Who we be.
You can't go wrong with DMX. Just the
pain,
alone,
the love, the hate.
Scott's in New Jersey. Scott.
I'm going to have to play that on the way.
How's it going, guys?
What's happening?
So if this isn't on your list, there's a big problem here. But I have two, but this first one, you have to have it. You started the show talking about the 80s. Motley Crue, Kickstart My Heart.
Oh, my God. Like, that's a given on any mixtape.
If you can't get jacked up on that,
thank
you got
you.
A problem.
No, no.
You know, hockey arenas, they play it all the time.
All the time.
And the place goes crazy.
That's a song that just starts so fast.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to give me two Waka Flocka. I might mess around like it. You want me to go full Latimer in the weight room, bro? You want me to go full Latimer? Ah! PlayStation table, start going into the parking lot and bust my head through people's windowsills. Ah!
And the other one is, and it was funny because on the break I heard it, it's the Van Halen with Sammy, Dreams. It starts off slow.
Oh, that's the one with the what's the Blue Angels, right? That's the video with the Blue Angels,
yep.
Right? Yeah,
yep.
Oh, come
you
on.
Hear that, you get fired
you
up.
You definitely
man.
Get fired up. That's another one that you get chills. Like, when you hear it, you get chills. Like, there's
yes.
certain songs that
with
the beginning.
Piano going. Da-da-da-da.
Yeah, exactly. That's when you get chills and you get yourself fired up. There's no doubt. Scott, great ones. Definitely. Those are the ones. Like, that's the kind of stuff we're looking for, is the ones that, A, you haven't heard in a while, and when you hear it, you just right away know it from the first two
chords.
First chord, exactly. We got a couple on Twitter, by the way, also, that... some are funny. Like Chris said, Ghostbusters Bobby Brown song. I don't know if that gets me fired up, though.
I'm gonna have to take control.
Gotta yeah. be.
I don't know if I get fired up.
Yeah, I'd get happy. I'd be too happy.
Yeah.
Too jovial.
Yeah, yeah. That's
I need laser focus.
Yeah. You're the best. That's from...
Jeezy. Any Jeezy stuff get go hard. You know what I'm saying? Any Ricky Rose, you know what I'm saying?
True.
Port Miami.
Wait a minute. And Top Gun has the new Top Gun coming out, the Maverick one. Danger Zone, Kenny Loggins. Yeah. You know that song from
welcome.
Top Gun?
Yeah, welcome to dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. You know the song. When you hear it right away, you'll just say, oh, I know that song.
Yeah. Why everybody in the movie look young? I mean, looked like old as hell, and Tom Cruise looked exactly the same as he looked. Is that Scientology? Did they give him some pigeon blood, or what the hell they do? Did they freeze his face?
I don't know if it's.
I'm talking to Scientology. What, Scientology?
Here it is. Listen, here it is.
Oh, yeah.
Come on now. Right?
I feel like this on Beverly Hill Cop, too.
Oh, what was that song from Beverly Hill
Cop? Yeah, when he's driving a cement truck. Chris
Neutron,
Rock.
Was that Neutron Dance? Yeah. Is that what that was?
Chris Rock. Yo, man, I get $100 for limo, $20 for car. What the hell am I supposed to do with this?
Oh, man. All right, 888 say ESPN. Let's see. Kumar's in Jersey. Kumar.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Long time listener, first time caller.
Awesome. Good
two
to talk
songs
to
for your playlist.
Mm-hmm.
Eric B. and Rakim, Don't Sweat the Technique.
Oh, hell yeah.
Time for Some Action.
And we have Time for Some Action. That Time for Some Action is Redman. That's right on.
Yeah,
that's in our intro. If you hear our intro, we have that right away because that's what our show is all about. Thank you.
I tell you what, I just thought of one because Redman, the Red One, and Meth. It's only like 20, it's only like 2 minutes long. I can't think of the song.
I'd know it.
You know what I'm talking
about.
I'd
know it if I heard it.
I know the Rockwaller. Woo-hoo-hoo. That goes hard. You remember the Rockwaller?
I'd have to hear it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a banger.
It's dope.
It's slash.
It's only like, why it's so short? It's only like 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Like both of them hit one bar.
Because it'd be dangerous if it was any longer.
You're lying.
You know what I mean?
I'm running through a wall for that.
It'd be so dangerous if it was any longer. Kumani in Brooklyn. Kumani, what do you have for us?
Hey, I was thinking... Welcome to the Jungle and Seven Nation.
Oh, Seven Nation, the Seven Nation Army? Is that the one you're talking about? Oh my God, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Then there's Thunderstruck, somebody just said on Twitter.
Welcome to the Jungle.
See, that's the thing.
We
it could be such an eclectic mix that it doesn't have to be all the same kind of music.
Welcome.
I think
welcome
the most important thing that it has to have is a hard beat.
Yeah.
It's got to have.
And that chorus got to inspire you.
Mm-hmm,
you know what I'm saying? In between, I need you to tell me what I need to be doing in my life. You know what I'm saying?
So we've got.
This one right here.
Yeah, yeah.
Microphone so check.
More songs coming up with you, of course. We got Kendrick Perkins going to tell us what he sees in that Golden State Memphis series and what he thinks of course, our LeBron hypotheticals, all that and more. It's Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, brought to you by the Home Depot with everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. Perk with us next, Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
This is Metallica.
That goes hard, man. Like, I'm going to have to put this on my playlist. Got to be added.
You take Star Wars, you take the San Francisco Philharmonic, and you take Metallica and just put them all in a room, and you're ready to rip people's faces off after listening to this.
Before I forget, my boy Flo down in Motown Barbershop just hit me. Flo. Red Man, the goodness. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out, do I go with the goodness? It looks like it's featuring Busta Rhymes, so I know that's going to hit. That's going to be a slap. I'm going to have to try that out. Yeah, I'm going to have to play that in the break so I can see what it feels like.
All right, we'll continue again as we're discussing with your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're putting together our workout mixtape because we got to get ready. Key and Jay are, I guess, serious about this, so we got to play them. And there's only one way to do it. We got to train. We got to get in the gym. And I got to remind you, Bart, women weaken legs. You got to shut it down for a little while. I hope you're okay with that.
Right.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We haven't talked to Kendrick Perkins in a while. We bring Perk back onto the show, our ESPN NBA analyst.
We don't got the Perk. We're supposed to bring him in with the percolator.
We're supposed to bring him in with the percolator?
We messed up in the production meeting, man. We going to have to old Big Perk big time. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know what we should do, though, is ask Perk. And first of all, good afternoon, Perk. Thanks for joining us.
You know what's the best thing about coming on the Bart and Hahn show is that y'all talk as if I wasn't listening to you guys. You know what I mean? Like I wasn't already on. You know what I mean? That's the best part about it. You know what I mean?
Well, if you're putting together, or you maybe if you have a mixtape when you're working out, like what song do you have that you're like, I need this. This gets me ready. Because we've got to get ready to play these guys, apparently.
Listen, look, if you need music to get you through at this point of time, in this point of the season, you got a problem. Mm. But if I had to have something on my mixtape, I'm going back to old school like UGK. You know what I mean? I'm from the South, so
That's a different mixtape.
That's his Thug Love tape.
Destiny to the stage, please. Yeah, Destiny to the stage, please.
Yeah, I might go with Murder or something like that, but I ain't going with Take It Off. I ain't Destiny, but not Take It Off.
Is Take It Off on your Thug Passion tape? You know what I'm saying? Well, you want to be a little bit aggressive?
Yeah. You know what I mean? It gets you through. You know how UGK is, man. They have different songs, man. They get you motivated.
I love the pimp, man.
Could you guys imagine a time as when we're old and gray watching TV and there's like an infomercial on and it's like, you know, like they come up with the, you know, they sell the 60s album collection and
it's
stuff.
Be taken like
Thug Love. You remember those days? You know, and it hits like this. Like, you're sitting there going, I'm going to buy that.
It's going to be the 2010. Like, it's going to be like some old Snoop Dogg sitting there like he's Donnie Simpson smoking a cigar in a damn.
Well, K-Tel presents Thug Love.
Gin and juice.
Oh, man.
Tip drill.
Hey, Park, Bart showed me that video. It changed my life.
Hey.
That video changed my life.
Yo, that BET at the Dark was a thumper.
I'm trying to tell you, it hasn't been the same since.
Yeah, lies.
Well, you know what? Let's get into some of what we saw last night first, and that is that Warriors-Grizzlies series. That's two games now where things got physical, and these two teams went toe-to-toe. Ja Morant with a great finish last night. But I want to ask you, as a guy that understood the line, like as Steve Kerr said, there's an unwritten rule, right, that you have to understand that you can't cross certain lines. Dylan Brooks, that flagrant two, it injures Peyton the second. He's now out. Is that a suspendable penalty for him? Is that something that he should miss time for? How did you view that play?
Absolutely. Look, crossing the line, he was all the way out of line. You can't do that. And when Steve Kerr talk about that code, it is that code when you sitting in that film room going down, breaking down plays or breaking down personnel or whatever the case may be, and they saying, "Hey, look, this is the playoffs, no easy layups." But it also is a point where if a guy is already taken off and you're behind the play and you have no chance to get a good wrap up foul, you know, things to that nature, you can't wind up and hit a guy across the head while he's in mid air and have that happen. And look, I know a lot of people are saying he didn't do it intentionally, or he didn't hurt him intentionally. Well, he intentionally fouled him. So, I mean, with that being said, I mean, you know, when you go with that type of aggression, then, you know, you don't care about what the results are going to be at the moment. So I do think that Dylan Brooks needs to be suspended for Game 3. Like, it's only right, and the league has to make sure they get this right.
And if they don't suspend him, what I worry about is when I got here, you know, the Patriots used to block Chris Jenkins, who was unblockable, like high-lowing and kind of going at his knees and stuff like that with two guys on him. And Rex famously said when he got here, if you take one of mine, I'm taking two of yours. So wonder what the film session is today. If they don't suspend him, do you think this thing can escalate? And what's some of the ways you can retaliate hard foul without trying to injure one of their players but send the message?
You know what? I think this is a veteran group, and they have to be very, very careful. To be honest, you know, with that type of foul, with Dylan Brooks, you have to be worried about the fans more so than anything, right? Arriving in Golden State or arriving in San Francisco, you know, getting to your hotel. You know, now all of a sudden the team have to hire extra security. All of a sudden that becomes a distraction because, look, I've been part of that before. Like, I was a guy that committed a few hard fouls. I was a guy that was not a fan favorite in other arenas. And, like, you know, it get real serious in the playoff time, especially with an action like that. So you got to imagine that environment is going to be hostile. It's going to get physical. But it depends on the officiating crew. And the NBA do a real good job of watching the series and saying, you know what, we're going to assign this veteran officiating crew. So you got to expect to see a guy like Scott Foster, who has been, you know, representing the finals for so many years. Like, you're going to see that, which they're going to be able to control, you know, the chippiness and things to that nature, which really is unfortunate because, listen, it's a way to still play physical without being ignorant. Like, you look at the Miami Heat, they play physical. We don't hear about no flagrant ones or no flagrant twos with them. You look at the Boston Celtics, they play physical. Same thing with the Milwaukee Bucks and the Phoenix Suns. So it's a way to play physical. It's a way to talk noise. It's a way to get into guys and make it a heated battle without doing ignorant stuff.
I think that's the best way to put it because I feel like with Dylan Brooks, he didn't mean it. What the problem is, he has no idea how to play that way. He was out of character trying to do that, and it looked really bad because of it. I don't think he doesn't know how to do that, and he felt like in the moment that was just a terrible idea for him. We're talking with Kendrick Perkins. It's Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Tonight we've got, again, the other two games now. You got the Sixers and the Heat, and we saw what happened in Game 1. There was a lot of, can James Harden turn it on without Joel Embiid? And the answer was, I think, no. And now Bart and I talked about this, Perk, and I want to see what you think of this. Just beyond this series now, where the Sixers are with him is he's got an opt-out. They've got to be second-guessing the idea of giving him an extension at all after this season, right? Don't you need a prove-me year before you give him more money?
Absolutely, especially with the emergence of Tyrese Maxey. But here's the thing. The great thing that James Harden has in his favor is who? Daryl Morey is sitting in the front office.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the bad part about it. And let me say this. I'm all in for guys getting the most lettuce that they possibly can. Like, I'm with that. I hope guys get everything that they deserve money-wise, but you also have to earn it. And I feel like the way that James is playing right now, I don't know if you really want to invest, what is it, $200+ million into him over the next 4 or 5 years as he's aging right before our very own eyes. Now, is he deserving of something? Absolutely, because he's still a guy that's go out there and get you, you know, 18 to 20 points and lead the league in assists if he wants to, right? But he's not the James Harden of old. He's not the James Harden that could carry a team and get you through one game of 35 plus and having one of those beautiful performances. So, you know, Han, I'm with you, but at the same time, I still have that player side in me that I used to tell all my rookies, man, get all the bread that you possibly can. Mm-hmm. And that's why I stand with that.
Yeah, no, and of course, you get what you can. But if you're a franchise, it's a very dangerous place that they are right now because they did give up a lot to get him. We got to leave it right there, Perk, but you know we love talking with you. Thanks so much. We'll play some UGK for you later in your honor.
Week.
All right.
And some JT money.
All right, you got it. Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst. We want you to tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. It brings you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Coming up, it's 11 straight and counting, Bart Scott. Speaking of somebody that's betting on themselves, looking to get paid, yes, the judge. All rise.
Here comes the judge.
Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Pay me now, pay me later.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio. Bart, play.
Well, my boy told me to listen to the song. Did. I didn't know it was so explicit. Thanks, Flo.
Oh, man, Bart. So as we went through last night, the ending of both NBA games, really – the ending, not the beginning of the Celtics-Bucks game was one thing. The ending of Grizzlies-Warriors was spectacular. But there was no more epic ending than on the ice at Madison Square Garden last night, where the Rangers and the Penguins played to three overtimes in game one. Game one. And I'll tell you what, I was talking to Anthony Pusick, who's a producer in New York with Michael K. Show. And Anthony's a big Rangers fan. Right. And we were talking before the show, and he's like, he had a great take. He said, I'm not like mad or frustrated as a fan. Like, I'm not worried because really you gave them the game. And it's true. Yeah. Like it took, like, you played your worst game. The Rangers have played their worst game in a long time, and it took three overtimes to lose the game.
Yeah.
Right? And your goalie played out of his mind. He made 79 saves.
Right. Can he stand on his head?
The goals they scored were all literally like on the doorstep or dumb. Yes, I'm going to say it. Dumb defensive breakdowns. Dumb. Like, not a mistake, not something that is like, wow, you just tip your cap. No, you did things that are like, why the hell would you just, there's Jake Guentzel in front of the net. Let me go away from him in front of the net to a guy on the perimeter. Like, why would you leave him in front of the net? It's dumb. That Fox and I think it was Lindgren on the 2-on-2 got crossed up and both guys went to the puck. And you got stuck, and then back door goes Guentzel, and boom, there's another goal. Like, it's just stupid things that you can fix easily by just, you know, screwing your head on straight.
Yeah.
You don't even need film for that. Like, the 5-on-3 goal, you could say, well, it was 5-on-3. It was a guy standing in front of it. He just tapped it in. What the hell's he doing there by himself? So the Rangers, I think, are still in good shape in this series. They should win it. It was a learning experience, just like the Celtics, their first game against the Bucks. That's the first playoff, like, oh, we got to raise our game a little bit higher here.
Yeah, but you talk about Sid the Kid. This guy has tremendous playoff experience.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Course.
So you talk about maybe are the Rangers just not ready to be able to compete on that level. Physically, they can do it, right? But can they understand the nuance of the game and how playoff hockey is played?
Well, they learned
it. Without experience.
Maybe they learned it.
I hope they learned enough.
Maybe they learned it in game one. That's the thing. Like, did you learn it in game one enough to know that you've got a goalie that can win you a series? He's that good.
Yeah.
And you've got an offense that can score goals. Your problem is you can't do dumb things defensively. Because you're going to give up a goal or two in the playoffs. It's just the playoffs. But you cannot just leave guys open in front of the net.
Mistakes are magnified in the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt about that. So did they learn? We'll find out in game two. But I feel like for the Rangers, if you're a fan, be frustrated, but don't worry. Not at least yet. We got more of your calls coming up. It is Bart and Han back in 10 seconds.
Bart and Han.
May the 4th be with you. Yes, I'm nerding out today. Deal with it. Say what you want. Take all your shots at me. I don't care. I love Star Wars. If you do too, then you celebrate this day with me. This is the way. Why are you shaking your head, Renee?
I'm not a Star Wars guy.
Are you a Trekkie?
Good grief.
No.
Great working with you.
Thanks.
You know we work for Disney, right?
Yeah, I know.
Don't know if I want to put that out on the air like that.
Yeah. I'm not. I'm not going to deny it.
It's been real.
Yeah. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Are you a Yankees guy?
Absolutely.
11 straight wins. And they and I think what's more important is what they did against the Blue Jays so far in the series, where the first game you win on small ball, which got everybody – I mean, you know, what a fun thing to see. A stolen base or you know, a stolen base and then a base hit, and then you score on the winning – like, small ball, wonderful. And then what you have in game two is an absolute blowout. So a Blue Jays team that you're supposed to be afraid of that kind of had your number – and what you've done so far in two games in Toronto is great. And then on top of it, Aaron Judge. I give you Buster Olney, of course, the best that we have here from Major League Baseball. And Buster said this. Aaron Judge so far this season, he's hitting 303. His slashes, 303, 361, 674. His OPS is 1.035. At his current pace, he would finish the season with 61 home runs, Bart. 115 runs scored. 128 RBI, all in betting on himself after turning down $213 million. And that bet right now looks pretty good. Now, there's still a ton of season left to play. But the Yankees have, they're at 16 wins, what, 16-6, right? A phenomenal record, first place. And he's playing out of his mind. This is setting up for him to, you know, show me the money.
You know, I love the fact that also Giancarlo is playing defensively. Remember, he was a great outfielder when he was the Marlins. But like, it's almost like, remember last year we have to get him ready to play outfield. Like, isn't this Giancarlo saying like one of the most athletic Adonises before?
Mm. Well,
last year, remember
we saw
him
run the bases last night, Bart, and it was like ow. Like every step he took,
he
was running like he was afraid something was going to break. He was like the ball was in play, and it looked like he was jogging, but. Look, this is what you get. He still hits the ball a mile.
A ton.
But I'm look, we were worried that the Yankees didn't change their ways. Maybe they have. Or maybe this is just what we see from them where they get hot. Like, they won 13 in a row last year. Like, they get hot, then they get cold. Then they get hot, they get cold.
Well,
they get injuries.
Let's see.
Right now, things are really, really good.
Let's see if they win a series against a good baseball team. Like against the varsity, and
the Blue Jays aren't a good standard here. I mean, it's a good standard.
No, that's what I'm saying. Let's see if they win the series.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Because before they were playing the Royals, to your point, in the Orioles, right? That's not the gold standard. You should beat those, and those are the teams that they lost to last year. Some mm-hmm. That was the difference between the Rays winning the division and then winning the division.
Of course, yeah. But still, Aaron Judge is not someone that you mess around with at this point, though, for the Yankees.
So you go back to him and say, "Hey, man."
Well, no. They already said they don't talk until the end of the season. That's how this is going down. But my point is
secretly the Yankees are wishing that he gets
Judge is
up
a guy that a gives bit. You more than just on the field. Yeah. It's not this is not like giving Gleyber Torres a contract. This is not like giving anybody. Like, I think it's bigger than giving Gerrit Cole $300 million.
Just the captain.
It's well, not yet.
Well, but
you don't give him that till you give him the contract.
But just the captain though. Like, he's the unofficial captain. He's the unofficial leader of this team.
Face of the franchise.
Yes.
Right?
And could be the face of baseball.
And literally everything you want when it comes to a face of the franchise kind of guy.
Because Trout's hurt again, right? Dude's always hurt.
But there's so much about him that I think you ask, what's the bang for the buck? And it is all the things that he can represent for you on and off the field, which for the Yankee standard, this is very important, right? So I do think when they calculate this, they're going to have to come up with a higher number. The fact that they went into the season and saying, well, that's all we're going to offer you, knowing that, okay, well, I'm just going to play this thing out. It was a gamble both sides made. Who's winning, though? Who wins in the end? You're the Yankees. You're going to. I don't know if you're going to give him the, what was it, the 8 years, 9 years he wanted?
Yeah, he won't.
I don't think you're going to take him till he's 40, but you might have to up the money.
He's 30, right?
Mm-hmm.
So might want to take him to compromise 38, 8 years. Let's see, $40 million.
The
a
Mets
year.
Are paying Robinson Cano to not play. That's where you don't want to ever be when you have Aaron Judge.
Their owner has money. He was just like, you know what? Do not take my pocket change.
Yeah, NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. Suns and the Mavs presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 9:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. We'll see how Luka does tonight against the Phoenix defense. And, of course, will James Harden show up? Oh, we have a lot to talk about, and we'll be back tomorrow, everybody. Enjoy the games tonight. We'll see you tomorrow, Bart.
Holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.